You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner is here now to delve into those gleaming red kettles of the Salvation Army.
It's that time of year again. The Christmas season shopping is in full swing, and as we come to stores and malls all across America, we hear the ringing of bells and see the tripods and red kettles of the Salvation Army. Everyone knows that they do good work, but how many of us know about their history? The Salvation Army began in London, England in 1865. William Booth, a minister, and his wife Catherine decided to change his ministry from the pulpit to the streets. He believed he could affect the lives of the poor and homeless by working with them in the streets rather than preaching about them in the comfort of his church. Victorian England's treatment of this class of people is not a bright spot in their history. They generally overlooked the needs of the impoverished and homeless. Those in debt were often sent to debtors' prisons. Most local churches did not want to bother with these folks in desperate need. In response to this problem, Booth went into the streets, preaching to all who would listen. He soon founded the East London Christian Mission to demonstrate what he felt was the Christian's mission to those in need. In 1878, the name we know today was derived as Booth was proofing the mission's annual report. At the top, it read, "The Christian Mission is a volunteer army." Bramwell, Booth's son, protested that he was not a volunteer, but that he was compelled to do God's work. His father crossed out the word volunteer and replaced it with salvation. Thus was born the name we know today. A military-like organization followed. Booth became known to his followers as the General. He structured the group with military precision, ministering to the poor and gathering converts. Catherine worked tirelessly, gaining support from wealthy donors to help keep the movement going. She also preached. The founding document stated that women would be treated identically to men, largely due to her early work. Like an army, they focused on strategy and launched an offensive based on the three S's, soup, soap, and salvation. By the 1880s, the Salvation Army had expanded into Australia, Ireland, and the United States. They worked with drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, and released prisoners. In effect, anyone society had discarded. By the 20th century, they had spread to every populated continent. The World Wars saw their charity extend to soldiers serving overseas. Their work in World War II led to the founding of the USO. Today, they serve in 118 nations, but their principal headquarters remains in London. They are the second largest charity in the United States. Although the method of calculating their membership varies, they have over 17,000 active officers, 1 million soldiers, and 4.5 million volunteers reaching out and helping when needed. As you shop during this season and hear that volunteer or member ringing a bell, standing out in the cold or rain, think about what this organization stands for, what they do, and how they have helped so many people over the years. Our troops know what they do. So do people who are homeless, or poor, or desperate. While the Salvation Army is most visible now, their work continues every day of the year. The holidays are a good time to think about the many charitable organizations working in our community to make a difference, and to remember the distinguished history of the Salvation Army. Surely, its history matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner's most recent book is History Matters. You can catch his commentaries every Tuesday morning at 7:35. He's an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport. Morning Edition continues in a moment here on your public radio station, Red River Radio.